Oh, Sean, how's that sandwich going?
It's gone. It was very tasty, though. Thank you.
Damn it. Okay.
Was it a Ross kind of turkey stuffing and sort of, you know, sandwich?
Run out of all those sandwiches now. Yeah. Yeah. I ate them all within 2 days. Cranberry sauce and everything, yeah.
Awesome.
And there goes 30 seconds. Hello, everybody. Welcome
my
to...
my sandwich!
Yeah.
I started, so I'll finish.
Yeah, sorry, I totally bombed your intro.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Filmwork Podcast, the final Filmwork Podcast of 2016.
Well, there it is.
Kitchen.
And Sean and Ben are both here.
There.
Chris Turney is not here to do the end of year podcast because he left us.
What a wanker.
So I'll have to Splitter. So Sean is joining us for his first final year up, round up, whatever you want to call it, podcast 2016. Yes, this is us talking about the year 2016, our top tens, what went on in the year, what was good, what was bad, blah 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 blah. Ah, so with that off my back, everybody. Guys listening, I'm going to ask you a simple question. What was the first film that you went to see at the cinema this year?
Oh, bloody hell.
Oh, my God. Could possibly have been...
There's a method to my madness because my answer is relevant to what we're going to talk about later.
Damn. When did Cap 3 come out?
May. End of
right,
April.
Okay, no, it's Deadpool then, probably.
Oh, February.
Yeah.
Sean?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. It was either Deadpool or it was... There was a couple of films I saw early in the year, and some of them were fucking awful.
Was it Zootropolis?
No, I've ejected it from my brain. I don't even want to think about it. I saw Dad's Army. That was in February.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
And it might have been a really... It might. I'm just looking at this, yeah... No, I'm just going to say Dad's Army. I think that was the... I can't believe it. Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, which was really disappointing.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I asked it...
Why do you ask, anyway?
I asked it because the first film I saw this year is also my number one of this year. Number one movie. So I'll leave it there until we get to our top tens. But that's how disappointing this year. It was literally all fucking downhill. Now, I think this year has... Shut up. This year has been given a bad rap of having, you know, being basically a really bad year for film. But the counter-argument is that if you went and saw enough independent movies, then it wasn't that bad. But I did not. So therefore, this year was pretty shit for me. How was it for you guys in general?
It was definitely the year of remakes and sequels that you don't necessarily want in you know big blockbuster Hollywood style, and I think that's kind of tarnished how it's going to go down in memory. But you know, looking at the list of the films that came out, I don't think it was particularly any different from most other years. I just think
averaging
that,
at three,
yeah, averaging a three. I just think that the films that were really notably bad were so bad, and they were so high budget and so, you know, in your face in the marketing that it's easy to remember. Well, it's going to be easy to remember that 2016 was such a shit year for movies, and not only that, but also all the celebrity deaths that we've had.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, we need to mention that. Mm. So many.
But
actually, let's not mention it because it's too fucking depressing.
It's too depressing. Let's not...
Yeah.
Let's not talk about it.
I mean, well, yeah. I mean, just sort of, just like quickly buzzing through the list, you've got like Zoolander 2. I don't know how you feel about these sort of silly sort of comedies, you know, that...
hated Zoolander 1.
Oh, I quite liked Zoolander 1, that's the thing. And you know, that ilk of comedy where it's like really bloody stupid, but it kind of knows it is. It's from the same mould as The Naked Gun and Airplane and all that kind of business.
Yeah.
And invariably, you know, Owen Wilson, etc., are involved in it. But I didn't want Zoolander 2. I didn't want it. I didn't need it. And, you know, there we are. And then, you know...
If it was going to come, it came too late.
Yes. Yeah, I'd agree with that. But it was pointless anyway. Yeah. Actually, and then, of course...
I'll, I'll raise this actually quickly, because the first sort of sequel slash remake slash spin-off that happened this year, I thought, oh, how can that ever work? And it ended up being in my top 10, and that was Creed.
Missed that one, yeah.
Yeah. Creed was... dude, was Creed this 2016? I thought it was 2015.
Yeah, and I was one... here's the thing, though, because...
Because I didn't include it, otherwise that would have been in my top 10, man.
Yeah, I know, because it's not in your top 10, and I'm like, what the fuck, Ben loved that movie.
Yeah, I did.
Didn't you review it for the site and give it 5 stars?
Yeah, man. I don't know whether I gave it 5 stars, but I certainly reviewed it and loved it. Yeah.
The thing is, is that it came out in America last year, but it came out here at the beginning of the year. And did you go to a press screening? I think you did, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
it may
I
have been
it, yeah.
at the end of the year that you saw it.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, I didn't even include it in my list. Well, there you go.
There was one of those last year, wasn't there, with Predestination.
Yeah, but we'll certainly bear that in mind when we come to Ben's top 10 and go, yeah, maybe we can kick that one off your top 10 and replace it with Creed.
It shouldn't be too difficult.
Yeah, it's almost certainly. Yeah.
Oh, well, let's not beat around the bush. Let's get to our top 10s. So this is, we're going to go through each of our top 10s. We'll start from 10 and go to 1 at a time. And then I'll give you all at the end the overall film work top 10 for the year. So we're going to start with me. I'll go first with my number 10 position, and that was a film called The Invitation, which nobody else on the Filmwork crew saw. And I saw this sneakily and thought, yeah, when this comes out in the cinema here, everyone should go see it. And suddenly I saw it appear on Netflix. It went straight to Netflix in the UK. A film called The Invitation. It's, you know what, I don't want to give too much away about it, because to talk about it is to give it away. So I'll just shut up. Yes, as thrillers go, intimate thrillers go, a group of people ran to a person's house for dinner and sinister stuff goes on. It's very good. There you go.
I've not even heard of it. Yeah. There is a Netflix, a sci-fi film that's straight to Netflix that's apparently very good that came out this year. I forget the name, bloody escapes me right now. But those Netflix things are generally quite good.
Except the Sometimes, Adam Sandler movies.
I watched one recently called Android. Have you seen Android?
No.
I know there was a film in about 82 or 83 called Android, which I love.
I was
going to
say,
which...
I re-watched that, the Klaus Kinski one with the guy.
Yeah, the Klaus Kinski. That's a film club waiting to happen, that one.
Yeah, the guy from the Critters movies.
Yeah, I love that movie.
And not on Android,
but no, there's a new one... new one on, I think it's on Netflix. It looks like a straight to Netflix type job. And I watched it. It was okay. It was all right. Well, it wasn't as good as I was hoping it would be. I kind of, I knew the twist. You guessed the twist, and I don't usually even try and do that, but there's a twist and you guessed it. I guessed it. So it's like, okay, it can't be that hard then. Yeah. But it was good. It was all right. It's fun.
Cool. Anyway, so what is your number 10, Ben? Which is obviously going to get kicked out.
My number 10.
Because Creed is in there somewhere.
My number 10 currently is Suicide Squad. Now, we must mention, me and Stephen were talking about this just before we started, that we were considering doing a top 5 instead of our top 10, because
yes.
a lot of us had not seen enough movies to not have to put junk in the bottom end of our top 10.
That's right.
And when we were discussing, when we first sort of submitted them, we were kind of discussing the fact that some of these films in the latter sort of positions are interchangeable with others, it's sort of, there's not much to choose between them, and you had to sort of decide. So yeah number 10 is Suicide Squad for me.
I will mention right now that our worst movie of the year overall is Ride Along 2, but only one of us went to see it, and that was Chris Droney. So it's actually a kind of a joke worst movie of the year. I think if you had to actually tally up what was the worst movie of the year, it would be Suicide Squad.
Or Independence Day.
Yeah, the first half of that was all right, but yeah, it was shit.
What?
Mm-mm.
No, it was appalling. I
couldn't bear to put it in my top 10.
I just, yeah. In fact, my worst film of the year really is a toss up between Suicide Squad and Independence Day. So, having not seen
what is your number 10 then, Sean?
My number 10 is Arrival.
Ooh, nice.
I am glad I got to squeeze it in, because it came... Well, actually...
No, I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah. Well, actually, I nearly said because it came out right at the end of the year, but it didn't. It came out on October the 10th, because I've just looked it up. But I'm pretty rubbish at getting to the cinema, so... But no, it was a quality, brilliant film. Definitely one I need to watch again, I think. But definitely
left
an impact.
All I will say is, Benjamin, when you watch it, I hope that you really like it, because the director is doing the Blade Runner sequel. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Ridley Scott's in the producer's chair, isn't he? But the writer's still the same from first Blade Runner.
Hampton Fancher.
He's come back to co-write it, so yeah. Right, well, I'll move on to my number 9, which I'm embarrassed by, actually. I'm like, why the fuck is that even in my top 10? Is Doctor Strange. It was fine. It had great effects. And it was kind of a lazy, here's a new Marvel character and here's a basic A to Z story. It was fine. They've got somewhere to build, so if they do a Doctor Strange 2, it'll be a lot better.
Mm.
But yeah, it was fine. Fine. Ben?
On Doctor Strange?
No.
My number 9. So my number 9 was Batman v Superman Dawn of Shitness. Dawn of Disappointment. it was... again, like I said, the latter half of my top 10 is populated with films that I actually didn't really dig that much, but I didn't get to see too many. Batman v Supes, I think, you know, I didn't know what... Well, as someone who didn't really get on with Man of Steel, was very disappointed in that. I don't know what I was expecting. I was kind of hoping for better, but I guess I got what I knew I would get in a way. There's some elements of it that I liked, but overall it was just crazy disappointing for a Batman.
And listeners out there, Benjamin is not lying when he says his bottom half is cold from the fact that he didn't go to the cinema very often. See if you can check from Benjamin's next 3 entries how often he went to the cinema with his kids. Sean, you're number 9.
I always feel like that there should be a bit of sort of Rotten Tomato throwing at Batman versus Superman amongst the 3 of us, but then I suppose you've already done the podcast earlier in the year. But
we said it was shit.
And we said it was shit. It was just very disappointing for me. That's all I'll say. But I agree with everything Ben said. There were little bits in there that I was like, that's quite cool. But anyway, my number 9 is 10 Cloverfield Lane, which. I kind of enjoyed that, because it was kind of what a sort of a pseudo sequel should be. You know, I like the idea that they try to do something different with it rather than we're going to give them another found footage film and another big monster and rah, you know. So yeah, no, enjoyable. Again, need to watch it again. Haven't actually got hold of it yet on Blu-ray or anything, but really enjoyed that one.
Awesome.
Early in the year.
That is a good
choice. Still haven't seen that.
Mm. Yeah, you're making this year sound actually pretty good.
Yeah.
My number 8 is The Nice Guys, which was hilarious. Shane Black directed movie, so that can't be a bad thing. And starring Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling. It is superb. On the rewatch, though, it kind of lost a little bit of its charm, but it's still good. It is still very good. But I do prefer Shane Black's... what was the other one that's similar? Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah. But Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer, that is much better than this. But The Nice Guys were still solid. There's enough there to bring you back to it.
I don't think I've heard of that one, actually, this year.
Oh, look
Kiss
it up.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, yeah, it's good.
Oh, look it up. Ben.
Okay, as Stephen indicated, my next my next 3 entries are due entirely to the fact that I have small children, and why not? So it's Zootropolis or Zootopia, however you want to call it.
Really,
it was Zootropolis here, wasn't it? Yeah.
Is that? It's not something else.
Eh?
Okay, so maybe I'm looking at an amended list that you made.
Oh, no, sorry. No, you are right. Absolutely sorry. That's my... Yeah, oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, sorry. My number 8 is the Angry Birds movie. Yes, get it.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I can't criticise because I've not seen it, but you know what? The fucked up thing is that the reviews for it weren't actually bad.
It was good. I liked it. I literally just watched it on Blu-ray with my kids because they got it for Christmas. There's a couple of moments. Yeah, if I go and see one of these, you know, animated type movies, if it makes me laugh out loud involuntarily, you know, a couple of times,
yeah,
that's fine. It's fine, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there was more than that with this. There was quite a few moments where I literally, you know, lost the popcorn.
So they did a good job at what is essentially a fucking iPhone game.
yeah, it was good. Cool. It was fine.
Good.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Good. Well defended. Sean.
Where are we up to? 7.
8.
Number 8.
How do you count again? What number comes next?
Yeah. Sorry, I skipped ahead to number 7.
You can skip by what you've got at your 8 because I know what it is.
Yes, X-Men Apocalypse. And
get
I am
here.
I am going to say right now that... Yeah, it's a little bit of a disappointment of a film, but I like those characters so much that there's a bit of an elevation going on. I've told you before when we were...
Didn't even make my top 10.
When we were talking about... who were we talking about when we talked about the
Fassbender?
Yeah, I love Fassbender. I just love him for some reason. And his Magneto is just awesome. And so, you know, when I watch it, as long as I just sort of switch my brain off from thinking about too much... And just sort of enjoy.
What do you mean, like the fact that you have to stand there watching him standing in a bubble, doing apparently nothing for the last third of the movie?
Well, it's like the if I watch it like I watch a Michael Bay film, basically, and I stop thinking about it, I can have fun watching X-Men Apocalypse.
Sidebar: who wants to do a Michael Bay retrospective? Because I've been rewatching his shit lately, and my God, have I been reacting to it!
I think we could probably make that quite fun. So yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean,
I'll tell you what.
No rewatches needed. Just sit there and talk about each one and go, "Oh my God!"
Say what you want about him, but he can direct actors better than George Lucas can.
Oh my God, you're right. Oh,
I know.
Shit.
I know. I'm right. Yeah.
Oh, what a horrible realization. Okay, so at number 7 is for me The Green Room, which is also on Netflix. Boys, I urge you to go and watch it. And I know you haven't seen it, because otherwise it would be in your top 10s. It is a great little indie horror thriller. Anton Yelchin, again, another actor who has sadly left us at such a young age this year. Terrific performance from him. And Patrick Stewart as well, playing the leader of a neo-Nazi group of skinheads. Did anybody see Blue Ruin?
No.
Oh, well, then fuck, make that a double bill then. Blue Ruin and then The Green Room. Same director. He is good.
He likes using the names of colours in his films and making Star Trek connections in his casting choices.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely one to watch. It is visceral, violent, and it has a bit of an impact to it. It was good. Yeah, it stuck with me this year. So Green Room at number 7.
Green Room.
Awesome.
Well, very good.
Well, my number 7 is, as I mentioned earlier, Zootopia, or Zootropolis, as it was called here. I don't know why they bothered changing their name. We know what, you know, it's like, who would be confused by Zootopia? Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. Weird. Anyway, so I went to see that with my kiddies. It's cool. You know, again, made me laugh out loud. Whatever, fine. The whole scene with the sloth in the DMV type thing just makes it worth the whole thing. In my opinion, it is great. It's fun. It's cool. Whatever. Move on.
All right. It's Hateful Eight for me. Number 7 is Hateful Eight. I should have made that number 8, shouldn't I, really? But what is there to say? What is there to say about it? You use words like, oh, it's a bit of a return to form for Tarantino, but you know, his last couple of films have all been pretty decent. But I do think it's got the edge on Django. So, yeah, I suppose it is a return to form in that regard. Still not my favourite of Tarantino's movies, but very good. Very well performed. Enjoyed it.
Awesome.
Yes.
Well, my number six is Creed. Yeah.
Creed.
Yeah, and oh, how disappointed was I when Stallone did not pick up the Oscar for supporting actor.
Yeah, robbed.
I remember you on about that at the time, yeah.
Yeah.
He got the Globe, didn't he? He got the Golden Globe.
He got the Globe. Hey, he got nominated, so I guess that's good enough. And it was, because it was a total shock how good this film was. It was very good. And Stallone, he just doesn't know how to do that role badly, does he?
Except Rocky V.
No, he was good in Rocky V. The film was shit, but he was fine.
I know what you mean. But I think, you know, yeah, even that was pushing it. But yeah, okay.
Yeah, right, fine.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. Who did get supporting actors? I remember it really pissed me off.
Wasn't it bloody Eddie Redmayne or someone like that? Oh, no, I can't remember.
Oh, God, I have not known.
Fuck, I can't remember.
Anyway, someone that didn't deserve it. Anyway, yep. Creed is at number six. Yes, it was very good.
It was very good. And it should be in my top ten, I'm sorry.
Well, we'll ask Ben where Creed would sit in his top ten. Where would it sit in your top ten now, roughly, do you think?
I would probably have put it somewhere. Well, it would be top five.
Awesome.
Yeah. Mm.
Good.
Top five or just outside, but certainly around there.
Good. Well, getting to just outside your top five, what's your number six?
the last of the triumvirate of of children's movies. It's The Secret Life of Pets. Again, very funny. You know, these guys don't muck about. It's fun. It's good. It's great. It's entertaining. I recommend it.
I refuse to watch it on the basis of the trailer.
I loved the trailer.
That's going to annoy the shit out of me. A fucking head-banging bloody poodle dog or whatever. Get out of here.
It's, you know, it's all right. It's good. I mean, you know, I liked it. And, I mean, I would say that you could probably, even within my little threesome there, you could probably switch them around fine. I had to choose an order. but they could probably go either way, any order, those three, in that position.
Entertaining family fun.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah. You know, they're all good. They're all good. And they all have, I think the thing for me is they've all worked on the rewatch as well, which is good. You know, that once you get to streaming or DVD or whatever, they've worked, you know, so it's kind of okay, good. I'm not, you know, when you have kids, you do have to watch these things a lot, you know, once they get onto home media. And, if they continue to work after the sort of sixth, seventh, eighth viewing, they must be okay.
Which you will get when you have kids.
Yes, indeed. So.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh,
God, that sounds garbage. Well, at least you didn't put in the one about the bloody fish. Sean, what's your number six?
Well, the one about the fish, which is, unfortunately, I'm just trying to think now. It's the only new film that came out this year for kids. Oh, no, tell it like it's not. I didn't see any of the three that Ben mentioned, you see. And I think Secret Life of Pets, I think my missus went with my son to see that, so I missed out on that one.
Did see Finding Dory,
and it was good enough to put in my top 10, and it was good enough to put above the films I have put it above.
Really? Above The Hateful Eight?
Weirdly, I didn't see that I hadn't seen it when we did our lists, but my kids got it for Christmas, so I've actually watched it. I think I watched it yesterday. Mm. And yeah, I enjoyed it. Okay, it was fine. Yeah. I don't know whether I'd have put it in my top 10, but it's good.
No, you know, top 10, something for the kid readers out there who frequent the Film Work podcast and website. Yeah. You know, when
I certainly might have been in there. I guess I don't know. You know, it was all right. Yeah, I mean, the problem with it is that it's a Pixar sequel that didn't need to happen. Like most of them have been. Like Cars, yeah.
I don't know.
But other than that, it was good. Yeah, it was nice.
I could have said that about Toy Story, and I thought all three of them worked very, very well. You know, both of the sequels.
Yeah, I think the thing is with those characters, they are very compelling characters. I think Dory was always... it was hard. They had to work very hard to make her a main character, I think. And I think they did a good job. Mm. I think they did a good job. But the Dory that is in the first movie couldn't have carried an entire movie, so it is kind of like they've had to kind of push that boundary a little bit.
Agreed. I just hope they...
This is why I've never watched the first one ever again.
I hope Pixar never make a sequel to Wall-E. That'll be the end of it for me.
Oh, God, that will
be... right, no, you just can't... No, please don't touch Wall-E. Still my favourite Pixar.
Yeah, mine too, yeah.
Oh, well, right, on to the five that matter... my top five at number five is, as Sean's already mentioned, Arrival.
Arrival, yeah.
Good. Like a bit of a thinking man science fiction. And, it was very good. Thought-provoking, I guess, but visually beautiful. And basically a take on aliens arriving on our planet done in a very, very original way that I found quite compelling. So I will go back and watch this again. As I've already said, the director is going on to the Blade Runner sequel. He has previously done films like Sicario and Prisoners and Enemy. Enemy is fucked up. I will never watch that film again because it's got spiders all over it. But yeah.
Sorry.
Arrival was very good, and not unlike the Star Wars films, it includes Forrest Whitaker in a role that he could have, you know, you could have just kicked him out of the film and not given a fuck about.
Fantastic.
That's the only downside. Forrest Whitaker being there and being no fucking good.
Yeah.
What happened to him? You know, he just... We were moaning about him in Panic Room, weren't we, when we were talking about Panic Room? Was it Panic Room?
I was moaning about him back in bloody Species.
Feces.
Yeah, feces. Yeah, bullshit. Okay. Ben!
I'm looking forward to seeing Arrival. I'm going to have to wait for Blu-ray now on that one, but be exciting when I do. Okay, my number five is Hell or High Water.
Ooh, nice. I saw that recently.
Yeah.
It was... I can't actually remember now the circumstances of going to see it. I just fancy that. You know how sometimes you just go, I just fancy that. And there wasn't. Normally, I'm a tentpole blockbuster kind of movie guy. I think there'd been so many, you know, what with Batman v Supes being, you know, sucking and various other things. And I just went to see that. As I thought, okay, I'm going to go and see that. And yeah, it's great. It's a couple of really compelling performances. Jeff Bridges in particular, supporting was great. And it was just good. It was just the right kind of mix of sort of, you know, that kind of heist road movie type sort of, you know, chase cat and mouse, you know, but with a lot of heart, you know. It's good. I recommend it.
Definitely. Nick Cave on the soundtrack as well.
Absolutely. Yep,
I've seen it, and I recommend it as well. I saw it quite late in the day this year.
Yeah. Very nice.
Right, my number five is Doctor Strange. Not much more to say about it other than what Stephen said. Yeah, it's totally by numbers, like what we now know by numbers as a Marvel introduction film. I still think that the template works quite well, and I certainly enjoyed it more than Ant-Man, even though it had exactly the same template again, pretty much. Enjoyed a Cucumber Patch in it, and... not much more to say about it, really. Yeah, good fun. Good fun. It's not going to tickle the brain cells much, but definitely good fun. Yeah,
awesome. My number four, I actually saw last year, but it was released this year, so I'm counting it for this year. Is a Kurt Russell Western movie, Bone Tomahawk, and it is also on Netflix now, boys. And I really urge you to go watch that. It's really, really fucking good. It's Western. It's 18 rated. It's largely kind of a road movie with four guys, four characters. Kurt Russell, Richard Jenkins, the guy from Lost, whose name escapes me, Matthew Fox. And
Trent Reznor's double. Looks a spitting image, yeah.
And Patrick Wilson on the way to rescue someone that's been kidnapped by this tribe of brutal... anyway, I don't want to give away too much about it. But it's really, 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 really good. It's got a brilliant sense of humour about it. And the effects work in it is terrific. And basically just the banter between these four guys is just, you know, second to none. It is absolutely wonderful. What else can I say without spoiling it?
Does it feature a bone tomahawk?
Yes, maybe. Yes, I think so. There's all sorts of bone-related instruments or weaponry in this film, certainly later on. There's so many things I want to say about it, but it spoils moments about the film that make it stand out, especially relating to Kurt Russell. But it is superb. There was four big westerns out this year. Two of them starred Kurt Russell, and two of them starred or co-starred Ethan Hawke. The ones starring Ethan Hawke are not in my top 10, which is a bit sad. But there you go. No, go check it out. It's really good. It does drag a little bit in the middle, you know, because you've got a bit of a road movie section going on with the film. Some of it does sort of drag a tiny little bit, but not to the point where you start, you know, not enjoying the film. But it is very good. So that's my number four.
And that'll look.
Right. Yeah. Well, my number four is Deadpool.
Hello. Captain Deadpool.
Ryan Reynolds on top form. Deadpool, loved it. Yes. What can I say? it was just lovely to see that. Especially, it was lovely to see that and then to go and see Batman v Supers a little while, like a month later, and go, yep, they pretty much made every single mistake that Deadpool kind of lampoons in its commentary. You know, like, you know, oh, this is the bit where a really heavy hero hits the ground and goes, yeah, they did that. It was cool. It was good fun. And, oh, I just loved the whole thing with it, and the way how it got made, and you know, just this idea of, you know, where there's a will, there's a way, and it being, you know, R-rated and violent as heck, and good.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Oh yeah.
Well, you'll
now,
notice,
Sean, you've not seen Deadpool, have you?
I have, and I was just about to say, you'll notice it isn't in my top 10. Yeah.
Ooh, commentary.
Yeah, that is a. Now, I agree with you, Ben. I love the story of how it was made and the persistence of the group of people, including Ryan Reynolds, who really pushed to get it made. I love the fact that it made lots of money and made Fox turn around and go, oh shit, maybe we should have listened to them in the first place, and now maybe we'll actually do some good films, you know, some good superhero films of the same ilk.
18 rated Wolverine action next year.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, and you know, there are moments in it where I think it's some of the gags are brilliant. Like when he's got the small hand and he talks about going to have a wank, that got a chuckle out of me. And I liked seeing Colossus in it. I thought he was a really good incarnation of the character. Yeah. The problem is
most accurate so far.
Yeah. The problem is I don't like the character of Deadpool at all. I don't get a jolly from watching him. I find him irritating. And the same with Ryan Reynolds. I just don't like the guy. His face annoys me. He annoys me. And so I'm never going to be able to enjoy the film, unfortunately, that way.
That's fair enough.
That's a shame. Yeah, fair enough. But that's a shame.
What is your number three then, Sean?
My number...
Your number four, beg your pardon.
Number four is a bit of a weird, definitely a wild card one for me. It's The Edge of 17. And a film I saw quite late in the year. So end of November, I think. I think the reason I've put it in there is because I don't often see these sorts of comedies very often. If at all, you know, I almost have to be forced to watch a film like this normally. And I think because of the fact that I hadn't seen something like this for a long time, and it happened to be quite a good one, it really sort of got me. And it's quite moving, it's great performances, it's very funny.
Who's in it?
Yeah, what do you call it? It's,
Oh, that person.
Yeah, that person, yeah. It's Woody Harrelson.
And, ooh, Hayley Steinfeld, that's the girl from True Grit.
That's right, yeah.
She's good.
Yeah. Woody Harrelson's excellent in it. Just a little, small, low-budget film. It doesn't outstay its welcome. That's another thing that's really annoying me lately. Three-hour-long films, Batman vs. Superman. I put it this way, you know, it probably won't stick around in sort of my four-star or 4.5 star, you know, list of films for very long, I think it'll end up being forgotten by me. But that's not a fault of the film. I think that if you're stuck for something to watch and you want, you know, a bit of a heartwarming comedy, I think it's well worth watching. Yeah, I liked it.
Awesome. I will look that up. Mm. For sure. Right, we're on to the top three now. And this is where we get, for me, into the section of films that I have watched multiple times. They're out to own now. I've watched them again and again and again. If we look back at my top 10, The Invitation, I've seen that a couple of times. The Nice Guys, that's out now. I've watched that a couple of times. Green Room, I've seen a second time. Creed, I've seen a second time. Bone Tomahawk, I've seen a second time. My number three, I have seen at least five times, and that's Deadpool. Captain Deadpool. So, continuing on from what Ben put for his, it just hit the mark. It was superb. I loved it. Ryan Reynolds fits the role like a glove. But to comment on what Sean has said about what he doesn't like about it, I can see what he means, because I played the Deadpool game later in this year, and it annoyed the living shit out of me.
Mm.
Whoever, the way they wrote the character for that game and the guy that voiced it, it annoyed me from start to end of that game. So you need the right person in there to play the role and to get away with it. For Sean, it's not. Obviously, Ryan Reynolds, for me, it is. So the film works an absolute treat. And can't wait for the sequel. I really can't wait for the sequel.
It's not just Reynolds, though. It's the character
himself. I was just about to say, it was the character. Yeah, Sean said it's the character.
The character the actor. Yeah. Like, for example, just because Ben... It was fresh in my mind because Ben mentioned it, right?
Well, I did say in the game they wrote him differently.
Yeah, and I was just about to say, there's a Lego Marvel game with Deadpool in it, and I find him bloody annoying in that as well. So I just don't like the character. Get the fuck off my screen.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, cool. Yeah, but there you go. That's my number three. I will say no more, but move on to Ben's number three.
All right, I put Rogue One as Star Wars Story as my number three.
Mm.
Yeah, it was a tough one, actually. I have to say, it wasn't as clear-cut in any way, shape, or form as last year's Force Awakens, you know, how I felt about that. There's a lot of things I didn't like about Rogue One, but a lot of things that I did like a lot. And Stephen and I did a little review of it, didn't we?
Absolutely.
Podcast. Overall, it deserves to be there for me, I guess. I guess there's just enough Star Wars about it just to be exciting enough to make that position in my list. But I think it's a shame that... Yeah, the various things that we talk about in the podcast, the various things that a lot of people have mentioned have kind of maybe just zapped a little bit of the joy out of it, that it could have been a number one movie for me. But anyway, yeah, that's about it. Number three.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see Rogue One yet, so it's not in any of my list, but certainly looks interesting in a way.
It is.
It's not a bad film. Let's put it that way.
No, it looks like there's plenty of fan service in there, even if it's just in the case of... You know,
too much fan service.
Yeah, that can be a problem then, yeah. I can think of a few films that have done that. But no, my three is The Jungle Book, which was an epic surprise that this was going to be any good whatsoever.
You like that Christopher Walken singing, do you?
I love Christopher. What do you love Christopher Walken dancing, singing, and being a maniac. No, I mean let's be honest. Like,
we need to sample Stephen. Go, oh, whoopie doo, like that. We need to have that at a button push away at all times.
Absolutely.
If we all had like a little board in front of us with sound effects and buttons, there'd be no bloody nothing done on the podcast. It'd be ridiculous. Ben would have a lightsaber, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Sean, I'm sure there's a way that you could figure out that I could, hotkey sound bites on my keyboard, so I could hit the key and the sound bite would go off.
And annoy the shit out of everyone.
I'd be doing that shit all the time, like the film sack do.
Stephen, I'll tell you right now.
And Ben, you know goddamn well that I would steal their low pan from Big Trouble. Yeah. Absolutely.
Ah!
I'll tell you right now, Stephen, if you ever did that, I would do the same, and I'd have I'd have the Wilhelm scream on there. So every time you annoy me with it, I would play that.
Oh, just to confirm, Ben, I was right about that fucker in Rogue One. I did see the, spot the fucker in there.
Of course, it's in all the Star Wars, and it will be in all the Star Wars.
It was really well disguised in Rogue One, but I sort of raised half an eyebrow when it went off, going, "Was that? Was that it? Anyway." The Jungle Book, I saw, it was the only film that I saw abroad. I saw it in America when I went there this year to New York. Bernie and I went to see it. We liked it. It was good.
Yeah, lots of fun.
I was expecting a lot worse.
I thought it would be fucking awful. On paper, the idea of doing a live-action bloody Jungle Book with CG animated character, I thought, nah, this is going to be atrocious. I think that's probably why it's so high up on my list, because it's just so surprisingly good. But,
isn't there another one coming? Isn't Andy Serkis doing one as well?
They're doing Beauty and the Beast.
Doing Beauty and the Beast, Tommy.
No, I think Disney. I don't mean Disney. I mean Andy Serkis has done the Jungle Book as well, a different one.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know about that.
If you look him up, then you'll see it's coming.
Mm.
We'll see.
It'd be a bit weird, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, good. Right. Well, let's move us on.
I'm surprised Andy Serkis isn't in this Jungle Book, to be honest with you, because as soon as you're going to put a CGI character somewhere, that knob's in there somewhere, isn't he?
Yeah, he's Serkis everywhere.
He's like the go-to guy. No one else can do
the ubiquitous Serkis.
No one else can do mocap. No one.
No.
I'm gonna move us on to our number twos, but I'm gonna skip me and go to you guys because you guys both have the same number two, I believe.
Oh.
Ooh. So we may as well talk about them in tandem.
The same number.
Plenty
two.
Of firepower, obviously.
Ben, do you want to announce it, Ben?
Yeah, Star Trek Beyond. Here we go. Star Trek Beyond.
Go do it,
guys. A return to form.
I'm thinking, I like Star Trek Beyond. Why the fuck have I got bloody Doctor Strange in my top 10 and not Star Trek Beyond?
I don't know, man. We both, you know. Talked very well about it on the podcast.
We did. The rewatch though was less so for me.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it again yet. I haven't got it on.
Anyway, guys, it's your number two, so go to time.
Yeah, man.
Go for it.
Well, I'll go first quickly. Basically, anyone who's listened to the Film Work podcast knows how much I despised Into Darkness. it was an effort for me to call it that just now, rather than Into Shitness, which is what I generally call it. I hated that movie. I still hate it. I've tried to watch it again. In fact, a couple of times, and I can't even watch the fucking thing. All right, I turn it off in disgust.
What and, is worse, Dawn of sorry, oh God. What is worse, Into Darkness or Dawn of Just Arse?
Into Darkness is worse.
Into Darkness by a country mile.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Go on.
So I was, you know, looking. I was kind of looking at Star Trek Beyond, especially the trailers were a little bit uninspiring, and I was kind of going, okay, well, I'll give it a go. And it was just a surprise. It was great. I really liked it. I thought, yep, okay. I'm back. They're back. I think they're doing a really, really good job with the main characters. Especially Kirk, for me, he was great. And Bones.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Colin, you know, gets proper fucking screen time for a change.
Superb. And less Spock, which was good for me, because I don't really dig Quinto Spock. Anyway, I'll let Sean talk. But yeah, for me, it was a surprise, you know, that it was as good and I enjoyed it as much as I did. It was
I'm glad between the three of us, we all have Anton Yelchin in our top 10 somewhere. Bless him.
That's true. Bless him. I'll say this, Ben. I was really surprised when I learned that you'd play Star Trek above a Star Wars property film. Because what I'll say is typically a Star Trek film is going to get a star straight away, an extra star, just for being a Star Trek film. So my sort of star rating system is a little bit out. With Star Trek, because I'm a massive fan of Star Trek, and as long as it keeps, you know, keeps rolling and they keep making new stuff, I'm all right with it, because even if they do a fluffer and it makes money, then they're going to carry on doing more. I don't think that Star Trek really works particularly well as films. I think that the original cast films worked because there had been a gap and they were doing like a, you know, you're coming back to these characters. And then, of course, these three films, starting with the Abrams one in 2009, are basically just sort of like a reinvention of. So I think it's very challenging to write a good Trek film. And I think that as much as the Trekkie in me who wants like the really sciencey, diplomatic kind of stuff, I don't think that we're ever going to get it. I think it's fine because it doesn't really work in its format. So with all that said, Star Trek Beyond is a great sort of action summer sci-fi blockbuster that you could enjoy whether or not you know or even like Star Trek. It is a return to form. They got the character balance right. Too much Scotty, but then again, he kind of co-wrote the screenplay, so you can't blame him. Really dug it. And a lot of people didn't like the villain, and I thought he was worthy.
Well, we had Stephen and I, when we reviewed it, we did have some negative things to say about the villain, or less than glowing things to say about him. It was a slightly weak link for me. But it didn't ruin the movie. It was fine. Yeah, the movie was great, and I think I just really enjoyed just being into any of their performances in terms of I've had a real hard time with the retooled Star Trek. I kind of enjoyed the first one. Didn't like the fact that they kind of shoehorned old Spock into it and kind of did the whole thing where they were allowed to just fucking piss all over anything that had gone before because they've changed their timeline. I still overall dug it. The second one just pissed me off from beginning to end. It was like they just didn't deserve Khan, hadn't earned him, wasted him.
Yeah,
it was shit. It was utter shit, contemptible.
Well, just to segue into that slightly, the thing that really annoyed me most of all about the Khan thing in that film was the fact that the backstory they had invented for what was his name, John something.
John Harrison, he was
a great Star Trek villain. The idea of sort of like a military guy who works for Starfleet who had gone rogue and hated the Federation, everything like that. That's a brilliant setup for a classic Star Trek villain without having to then go, oh, actually, no, I'm Khan. I thought that's right. Such a waste.
No, you're right.
Yeah,
it was a waste. It was terrible.
I was hoping that they're sort of retconning Gary Mitchell instead. But,
or RoboCop, they did vilify him, but he would have...
RoboCop!
Look, Weller isn't allowed to be called
forever.
Anything else.
Forever.
Yeah, Naked Lunch or any of that.
No,
RoboCop.
He's Robo.
It's a bit like Robert Patrick, who isn't Robert Patrick at all. He's the T-1000. That's it. He's not allowed to be called...
I was going to say, who's Robert Patrick? Now I know who you're talking about.
Well, exactly. There you go.
The guy from Waste World 2, the cameo. You've seen this boy.
Yeah. He did that in two different movies, didn't he, that cameo?
Oh, my God.
I think he did that in The Last Boy Scout as well, didn't he?
What? No.
No, was it that? I'm sure he did it in two different movies.
It wouldn't have been The Last Boy Scout. That's not a spoof.
Anyway. So, to get back to Star Trek Beyond, for me, it was like, oh, man, I'm absolutely... over the moon to be enjoying a performance in one of these movies, and Kirk in particular, Bones as well. Yeah, loved it. Great. Number two. And I have placed it above a Rogue
I think the
Star
reason
Wars
why
movie,
I didn't include it in my top 10 is I can't stand it! Oh. Goddamn fucking song again.
The Beastie Boys. So yeah.
Whatever. I'm joking, like... Right, so... Moving on to my number two. The reason why I've swapped to Savannah is because my number two then coincides with your number one, so we can all talk about this one together. So, my number two... Sorry, guys, to give away your number ones, but the film we're going to talk about is Captain America Civil War.
Which is our number one.
Hello.
Which is fucking solid. And my other half refuses to watch it. She's seen every Marvel movie except this one, and she refuses to watch this because, well, I don't want to quote her, but anyone that's seen Facebook knows what she's going to say about it, or what she thinks it's going to be like. But I can't get it. It's weird when you go, this is one of their best movies ever that they've done, and then someone just go, no, I'm not interested. I don't get that. This film was superb. This knocks off one of the few perfect trilogies for me. I love all of the Captain America movies. I still think that the second one is the best, but this one is not far behind it. It is super. When you consider the amount of characters that they had to juggle in this to make it work, to make the drama work, the way that it ended so powerfully. And I will say right now, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I like the bad guy in this film. I have no problem with the bad guy.
Yeah, I love the idea that they just use a normal guy. It's a bit of a shame that they've taken like the Baron Zemo name, because if you're a fan of the comics, then you know that he's like a bit more of a supervillain. But yeah, I think it works. Yeah.
I suppose the other thing to comment on is that, there's a lot of coincidence going on here in order for it to all add up to the ending. And I'm like, and fucking so what? Who cares?
Yeah, we've had that discussion already on another podcast.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, when we were talking about coincidence.
I'll hand over to you two because it is your number one. Go
for it, Ben.
Oh, no, Sean, you first. I went first last time with the soldier.
Aren't we nice? That's lovely.
I'm being lovely and Christmassy.
First of all, Stephen, I'll say that my missus didn't want to watch it, and then I made her watch it, and then she was like a bit meh with it. And in her instance,
that's what I should do: make her watch it.
Yeah, I think with her, it's more a case of the fact that she's just got superhero movie fatigue, and I can see her point. And she's starting to, when she sees these films, she's starting to go, "This is just a toy advert." And she's right, to be fair. You know, that's why the Iron Man suit keeps changing, so that they can make a new line of toys with the new Iron Man suit and stuff like that. But I kind of like that. You know, maybe it's a boy thing. I don't know. What was the most...
Can I just slightly butt in and segue on that just for a second?
Yeah.
There's one thing I want to mention about the Iron Man suit.
Right. Right.
And that is that in all three Iron Man movies and both Avengers movies... And the Cap movie. Yeah, you know, every appearance of Iron Man that we've had, I don't think they've bettered the first fucking suit, the first proper one that they did, the Mark II or whatever.
Mark III.
Mark III.
Yeah.
No, they haven't, no.
In the first movie, that first is the fucking bong, man. Yeah.
But I will say that at least they introduce each new one as an upgrade. And you see how it is an upgrade. Either it's a suitcase or it flies to him. I think each of the upgrades, despite the fact that they are going to be new toys, are done in a way that is plausible to the character.
Well, you know, I mean, in the comics, Iron Man's got a fucking suit that's hidden in his bones.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, well, again, nano fucking shit.
It ties in with the comics. They do upgrade as he goes along. So
They've not. But I
agree with you, mean though.
It's just the design. The design was spot on.
Well, yeah, they would have spent ages designing that suit because it was a practical effect. It was a real costume. I don't think he's actually worn a real suit since then. I think it's all CGI work on his costumes. And, you know, they're churning these films out now with appearances with Iron Man in. They don't have the time or the budget to make these costumes anymore. So
I don't know how that would impact the design.
Well, because they're not spending as much time thinking about it. If you're going to,
I don't think that's true. I think they're spending a lot of time thinking about it. But I think they need to change it all the time. So it's like, what do you do? You're still working with a human form, aren't you?
Well,
but anyway, let's not go too mad on that. I just wanted to mention that because it is just. That suit is just fucking phenomenal.
I love how we're so all similarly sort of pedantic about things like that, the details that we have. We should do a podcast about a detail in a film, Stephen, one that we all want to talk about, like lightsabers or something.
Yeah. Talk about the bat suit.
Talk about the bat suit
in all the films. We could do a couple of hours on that podcast.
All right, I think
Sean, do you want to continue?
Yeah, I think what sums up sums it up for me, this film, is I saw this about a month or so, maybe 5 weeks after Batman vs Superman, and I remember leaving Batman vs Superman, coming home, telling the missus about it, you know. And I said, it's bloated, and they've tried to put too much in there, and somewhere in there it's good, you know, but you know, no, it's like it's 2.5 films at least, or you know, and everything I could say about it, Civil War did, but it actually worked, you know, like there's too many characters, like seriously, there's too many characters, you know, there's bloody plot lines going on all over the place. And somehow it all ties in neatly. You never feel like you've been rushed. You never feel like something's been over-explained or under-explained. So I don't know whether that's the writers or the editors or the directors, probably all of them. It's unbelievable. I mean, I will say, even though I think the scene is absolutely awesome, the whole airport fight scene is a little bit redundant, maybe. That doesn't necessarily need to be in the film for it to work.
Aha! Now, although that's their big set piece, right, the moment I saw that in the trailer and then saw the film, and hey, it's great and fabulous and blah, 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 but it does think of, let's get an empty place to shoot an action scene with nobody around, a la Expendables movies.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's obviously...
Is that commentary on, let's have an action scene where there's going to be no damage to civilians?
It's too... boys playing with their action figures.
I'm down with that.
You know,
I think, well, the one thing I will say in response to what Sean just said about comparing those two movies, the main reason for that difference is the fact that Marvel have done everything the right way.
Well, of course,
around. They've set the fucking characters up in the, you know, first.
Yeah.
So you're already on board. You know who Iron Man is. You know who everyone is. You know, you're not having to figure it all out. And whereas Batman v Supes, they're kind of relying on you. You know, obviously, Batman and Superman both have, you know, a lot of, you know, kind of ready-made awareness.
Everyone knows who they are. Yeah, for sure.
But then if you continue to then create a Batman that no one's seen before, who's killing people and branding them, then, you know, that kind of, that's all for naught. You know, anyway. But yeah. Yeah, I agree.
It shouldn't have worked. The Civil War, basically, it shouldn't have worked.
Awesome.
Mm. Well,
let Ben go.
Yeah, it did. You're perhaps right. I mean, one of the things for me that just made it just a joy was the Spider-Man cameo. I mean, I just fucking loved it. I loved it, and you know, the moment that trailer came out with Underoos, you know, and you had the Spider-Man in the, you know, coming out, I was like, yep, there you go. You know,
and a very basic looking costume as well.
It's a comic book costume.
It's perfect.
It's great,
yeah. Except for the V's great. On the arms. It's exactly like his original first one. Yeah.
Ant-Man didn't annoy me in it.
No, he was okay. I mean, I've only watched the Ant-Man movie once, and I haven't gone back to it. And I, you know, whatever. But yeah, no, Civil War, great. I mean, you know, I think the setup was better in terms of Batman v Supes. The antagonism between those two characters was poorly handled and poorly just. It was just terrible from, you know, cause no one bought it, you know.
Yeah.
They even showed you in the trailers them getting on later on, so it was like, ooh, you know, where's the fucking verses?
Yeah.
And whereas I think that the setup in Civil War, again, it's kind of like, you know, you sort of think, well, really, these guys could actually figure all this out quite easily. And, you know, and it is conspicuous with Thor being gone, you know, he would have helped the situation. But it was I mean, there's a reason why it's my number one movie. It was, I walked out with more of that, please.
As much as it's called Captain America, and as much as I do love Chris Evans in the role, it really brought, for me, Robert Downey Jr. back to being Iron Man. Acting the role properly, and it's certainly in that last act when they're at that place, and just the looks he's giving him when he sees that video, I'm just like, oh, that's what you pay Robert Downey Jr. for. Loved it.
The I don't care line.
And Black Panther was fucking amazing. I thought that would all be shoehorned in. I thought, oh, they've got to introduce a new character.
And
they haven't got the balls to give us the origin film first, so they're going to shoehorn him into another film and then, you know, see, test audience it and see what... But I tell you what, they wrote that plot part into the main story really well, and he was so
very
cool.
Well.
Like, I think he might be the coolest superhero I've seen since Batman.
I think also they dialed in all the stuff that was new in terms of costuming. They got it right.
Yeah.
They got Black Panther totally right. I felt, and they got Spider-Man better than just anyone's done him
ever. Actually,
We
will look forward to Spider-Man Homecoming next year, then see what Sony make of it.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So yeah, all good.
cool.
Very good.
Right, well, I will wrap off with my number one. As I said at the beginning of the podcast, this is the first film I saw of the year. It has already been mentioned on Sean's top 10. It's The Hateful Eight. Yep. Technically, I actually saw it at the end of the year, but then I went and saw it on the 70 millimeter projection in Leicester Square and lapped it up. I have watched this film so much, so often, it's unreal. And to have a Tarantino film as my number one is a shock to me, being that I'm not his biggest fan. This, I said at the beginning of the year, when we did our Tarantino retrospective, myself and Chris Droney, this is the only one of Tarantino's films that I gave a 5-star to.
Crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
It is fucking... It's like watching just a really comfortable play made out of 8 different little short acts. Little short story in each act. It is fucking superb and I love it. Oh, yeah.
There we are.
Mr. Pegley, have you seen it yet?
I bought it on Blu-ray when it came out, and it still has the cellophane on. I have not got around to watching it.
It is 3 hours long.
Yeah.
Make sure that you have the time and no one bothering you when you watch it, and just get yourself some, you know, some mulled wine and sit in and relax and enjoy the dialogue.
Well, I will.
Make the mistake that my friends made that I took to see it with me. They were all expecting Tarantino violence from the get-go. It's not about that. It's about characters and it's about talking.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I also bought The Revenant as well and still haven't watched that.
Yeah, right.
It's playing cellophane as well.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's fine. So that's our individual top tens. I will quickly race through the overall top 10 for the site, which was made up between 6 or 7 of us. At 10, thanks to Ben Pegley's late entry, we have Batman vs. Superman... Dawn of Just Arse. And at 9, we have Hunt for the Wilder People, which I can also recommend to people. It's very good. At 8, we have Rogue One. At 7 is Arrival. At 6, Star Trek Beyond. At 5, Doctor Strange. Fucking hell. At 4, The Nice Guys. At 3, The Hateful Eight. At 2, Deadpool. And number 1, of course, Captain America Civil War.
Very good.
So, you know, not bad when you look at it in that respect, I guess.
It's a very strong showing for Doctor Strange, I have to say. I didn't even put it in my top 10.
Mm. Well,
I came out of that going, whatever.
Because Filmwork has been downsizing this year in terms of me not being a full-on reviewer and Laura and Chris and what have you. Chris Drennan is basically our main cinema goer. But because I still got top 10s or 5s, or in the case of Laura Johnson, a top 4, Laura basically just listed the 4 films that she saw at the cinema, which included Suicide Squad and Batman vs. Superman. So that's why we've got such a muddled-looking top 10. And, yeah, Doctor Strange, I think. Just a lot of people went and saw the obvious films, basically, and threw them into their top 10. That's the trouble when it comes to stuff like this. You know, and because I stepped out of being main editor, I haven't been going, right, everybody go watch this, everybody go watch this. Remember the year when I sent everybody Cheap Thrills?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that would have not have ended up in the overall top 10 if I had not done that.
No.
Because no one would have gone to see it because, well, first of all, it wasn't showing at a cinema near you. yeah, so I kind of, well, you know, I wouldn't say cheated is the word, but I, you know, pushed in a direction when I had the opportunity, when I got sent like 3 Blu-rays that I could post out to people. So yeah, but there you go, that's it.
There we go.
So a final question before we end this podcast: what are you looking forward to next year, guys? And we'll go to Ben off the top of your head.
Episode 8.
Yeah.
That's it, man. No, there's a lot of things, actually. There's a lot of things. Can't think of any at the moment.
I just want to back you up and say I am really looking forward to episode 8.
Yeah, me too. Can't wait to see what happens there. I can't wait to actually have Mark Hamill actually in the film properly.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Oh,
Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Looking forward to that one.
It's going to be a sad farewell to Princess Leia as well. Sorry,
yeah,
James.
Yeah. It's going to be, yeah. That's going to be, they're definitely going to do a bit of a Spock in that, aren't they? Yeah. Do you think they filmed her parts already?
They have. Yeah, she has. She wrapped. Already. Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose the question is she meant to have appeared in episode 9?
Possibly. I don't know.
Yeah, fuck Star Wars. What about Triple X Return of Xander Cage?
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, the first Triple X, I put off watching that for years, and eventually when I did watch it, I quite enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. Bollocks, really? Yeah, just, I thought it was a pile of shite.
Just the first one. Yeah. Yeah. Vin Diesel, shit. Ramstein playing and everything. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah,
Guardians of the Galaxy too. I'm looking forward to that one. And,
all the Marvel ones, Thor 3...
Logan, looking forward to...
Logan, definitely. John Wick 2, Blade Runner 2047, what the hell it's called.
Yeah, tentatively.
Skull Island.
Bring that shit on, man.
Bring that shit on. They're doing another fucking Pirates of the Caribbean, aren't they? Fuck's sake. I wonder how much they're wonder how much they're paying him this time. Ghost in the Shell. Lego Batman movie. Can't wait for that. February. That's going to be killer.
Am I out of tune by saying that I was actually annoyed by the Lego Batman in the Lego movie?
It means you don't have a sense of humour, maybe. I don't know.
I thought it was good. I thought it was cool.
Does he really need his own fucking movie? Is that going to be a bit too much? We shall see.
We shall see.
I think hopefully they'll kind of cameo in, you know, a good deal of other characters. You know?
Yeah.
That would be nice. Yeah, especially, I mean, not just DC stuff, but, you know, that'd be cool if, you know...
I tell you what I can't wait for, guys. I can't wait for Baywatch, right? I think that's going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah, this is going to be the one where The Rock finally fucking hits the, you know, mainstream in a film that's good.
Well,
I was
talking
to my friend before I left the pub, which is why I've done this podcast pissed. Hello, James, by the way. That we're really looking forward to the new Alien movie.
Oh, God.
But we're both actually really looking forward to Danny McBride being in it.
I'm looking forward to it. I you know, there's some, you know, I'm reserved about it, quietly confident maybe.
Yeah, I'm not watching any more trailers because that first one gave away way too much.
I think I'm reserved about nearly every film that's coming out next year, to be honest.
Going back to Baywatch, though, I am rather looking forward to the slow motion Alexandra Daddario moments, if there are any, because that will be epic.
Kind of makes you think, why is Michael Bay not addressing it with all the slow motion and cameras panning around bodies and stuff?
Yeah, right. Oh, my goodness.
War for the Planet of the Apes as well, that's another
one. There's going to be some lateral wobble going on.
Oh, for God's sake. Bit of side boob action.
Oh, there's going to be a ton of it, man.
You guys are going to be so pissed off when you go and watch that film and the screen comes up and it says Baywatch and next to it says 12A.
Yeah, I know. True enough. So what else have we got this?
We've got Planet of the Apes, the next one, part three.
For the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the last two, so I'm quietly confident about that. Yeah. And then there's Tom Cruise's The Mummy.
Oh, God. The Mummy Mission Impossible Mummy.
Yeah. This is the thing about it. Like, there's so many, again, there's another ton of sequels coming out.
Actually, I've got a question about that, because this is Universal relaunching the Monsters universe, so they're going to do the Invisible Man with Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp's going to be the Invisible Man. Javier Bardem is going to be Frankenstein's monster. Russell Crowe is Dr. Jekyll, and he's doing a cameo in the Mummy movie. The person playing the Mummy is it Sophie or Sofila Boutella, who was the girl with all the paint on her in Star Trek Beyond, and the girl with the razor legs in Kingsman.
Yep.
My question is, at the end of that film, is Tom Cruise going to become a new Mummy, therefore carry the franchise on, if they do a crossover film?
I can't imagine Cruise going for that.
I only say that because in the trailer that you see, he ends up getting killed but comes back to life.
Possibly.
Ha 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 ha.
Oh, God. Remake of Flatliners, really? Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
With what's her face?
Ben scrolling for the Wikipedia to see what's coming out.
I am. I'm just looking. Oh my God!
Oh God! A sequel.
Speaking of Kingsman, there's another Kingsman as well, isn't there? Speaking of that,
that's right.
Yeah.
The golden testicles or something. and another Pixar sequel as well, Cars 3, because Cars 2 was so good, they had to make another one.
really. Yeah. And Cars 1 was so fucking good.
No, Cars 1 was great, man. If you've got, if you see it with your kids.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Jumanji.
And who's starring in that one? I wonder. Tell us, please.
That might be The Rock.
And. And.
I don't know.
I don't.
Jack Black.
It's The Rock and Kevin Hart.
Oh, so
I don't mind.
Oh, Kevin Hart. Oh, good.
That's one to send marvelous. To go and review.
When The Rock's doing all that, it's fine. It's just like what Arnie did in the '90s, isn't it? You just do a load.
Hey, the $6 billion
no,
man.
No, this is the thing about The Rock. He's never done that. He never fully took on the mantle. He took the mantle and then did fuck all with it.
What, took on the mantle of strong, hard man doing family films?
No, he's done that shit to death. But where are all the goddamn action movies? Where are the goddamn R-rated, you know, fucking gore-drenching?
You mean he should have started there and then gone into the shitty family films?
Exactly.
Yeah, I can see that. Fair enough. Yeah, he's all.
Well, yeah.
Anyway,
I think
that's an argument for
another
day.
The trouble is, he kind of. What I think happened is he got into. It was the Get Shorty sequel. What was it called? Fuck.
Oh, I know.
The second one of those.
Yeah. He was great in that.
And I think he was great. Well, exactly. That's the point. He was great in that, and I think he got a taste of kind of. Ah, well, actually, I might be able to do a few more interesting things than just go out and knocking heads together. So maybe he got a little bit. You know, a bit diluted, maybe. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I agree. I, you know, there should be more sort of just 18 rated, you know, lowish budget, kick ass, hellish violent rock movies.
Making another fucking Saw again, even though they like ended it finitely, didn't they?
Be Cool was that film.
Be Cool, that's
Be
right.
Cool. Yeah. Directed by F. Gary Gray, who is doing Fast and the Furious 8, which is out next year as well.
Marvellous.
Starring The Rock.
Yeah.
All right, let's get the hell out of
Marvellous.
Here.
Marvellous.
Everybody, it's been a pleasure and a joy this year entertaining you. We'll be back next year. Sean and I will start off the year with something quite horrific, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll have to.
And then we'll eventually be releasing our Nolan podcast when we finish the
fucking. Yes.
Yes. But from now until then, goodbye, farewell, have a happy new year, and we'll speak to you in 2017.
Happy new year.
Thank you. Yeah. 2016, piss off.